Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, 2016 ordination candidates and your accountability partners and council members. We are excited. The time is winding up. We're getting closer and closer to that day and that time that we will celebrate what God has established in our lives, and we are grateful that you are taking the time to avail yourself to these weekly ordination preparation meetings. We do encourage you to listen to past sessions if you've missed any. All of this information is going to be very pertinent to you during the process at the conference in August. Again, I bid you good evening, and we would like to open with prayer.
Thank you.
Do I have a man on the line for prayer? We do always want to give that position to the head, and God has put the man as the head, and so we would like to be blessed and released. One moment.
Hello.
Hold on, I got
to. Hello. Hello.
Father, we do bless you and glorify you. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you for these candidates for 2016 who have positioned and are preparing themselves, Lord God, to move in the direction, Lord God, of a greater purpose, to fulfill the purpose and call of God upon their life. We thank you for this process. We thank you, Lord God, for their holy obedience to the process. We thank you, Lord, for those who have presented and those who will present. As people are in preparation, obtaining garments and things of that nature, we pray that all of the natural preparation would also speak to the spiritual preparation. And, Father, that they would begin to see how they serve hand in hand. We ask, Lord, that you would bless every step of the process, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, Lord, that all of this information would not just be information, but as you are releasing information, we pray, Lord God, that we would not look down to just information. We pray for the depth of our friendship, but we would look for the friendship of the both of us. I think that there is for a famine in the land, that the word is present and prevalent. It is bless you, process. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, we are pray that you are enjoying this process so far. We do ask that you remember to mute your phones. Mute your phones because everybody's line is open. And that way, if you have input and dialogue, you may do so. But until then, if you can mute your telephone, it really has a lot of feedback, and it makes it very difficult for others to hear. All right. So we will ask Minister Sherita, he's on the line, will give us an update for all correspondents. Please be patient. I am making everybody live. And so, Minister Sherita, I'm not sure if I've gotten to yours yet, but I believe I've opened all the lines up. Amen.
Okay, good evening, everybody. As we discussed on last week, the eight prayer watches have now been incorporated into your elevation process. And this is actually your time to ask God for the hour he has anointed you to pray in and discover the anointing and the word of God released during that hour. Each prayer watch has scriptures that we encourage you to decree and declare as it relates to that particular time of day and the particular task at hand. And then this week's homework assignment was to read the next set of Psalms and then list how many names of God are revealed and how many times there are instructions, commandments, or admonitions to us that relates to the names of God. And then every week we do look forward to hear what the Lord is revealing through Scripture on the significance of the candidate and accountability partner relationship. And so we do ask everyone to continue to read and study the Scriptures that have been given and then be prepared to be called upon. And also as we continue to move through the consecration, every week we do want candidates and accountability partners to share the name of God that impacted you during your study, and then whether it was a familiar name of God or a new name of God. And then just remembering to journal during your study time and be ready to share with the group. And then on today, we're going to actually take a look at the seven mountains, which are business, government, media, arts and entertainment, education, the family, and religion. And Bishop Dr. Nathaniel Isaac will actually walk us through the importance, influence, and impact the body of Christ has over these mountains. And then lastly, we do just encourage everyone to register for the AEN conference now. It is actually going to be on next month, Thursday, August the 25th through Sunday, August the 28th.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Sharita, and we appreciate those that have registered with the hotel, and we encourage you to do so. Your deadline is coming up. It's the end of the first week in August, I believe, and then your registration is due in the second week. And so you want to make sure that you have made those two deadlines. It is very important that you are prepared, and it's also important for us to be prepared. And one of the parts of our preparation is registration, and that helps us to set up and make sure we can accommodate all of those who are going to come forth. So we encourage you as leaders to no longer wait to the last minute or do things, you know, as you say, business as usual, but make a commitment to be proactive in everything that is being required of you in the areas that the Lord has released you to walk in authority in. Be proactive in those areas. Be on top of your game, not just trying to do what we do to make it through, but do what we were assigned to do to make a way through for all of those who are to come. Being the example, setting up the example. Now, I have some just housekeeping that we do need to do, and there are individuals that are in dire need of calling me or sending me something. I have nothing for you or from you as it relates to the complete list. And that list includes your ordination application. It includes your gift assessment and your personality test, and that's something that you do online. The gift assessment was sent to you. If you need the forms, email me. Your relational intimacy questionnaire, your emotional status form, your defender of the faith questions, or your theological questions. These are documents that we must have. Your statement of faith, your conversion statement, what ministry God has called you to, your mission and your vision, all of these required forms need to be turned in. We do understand life happens, life is challenging, but we've been at this now for at least 3 to 4 months, and I should have something from everybody. I should have everything from everybody. And so I am waiting, and determination will be made at the end of this month. So I need individuals to be faithful and be integral and do these things. And remember, you turn them in, but then they have to be reviewed. So there's another group of individuals who are committed to your process, who are excited for you in this process, and they have dedicated, you know, portions of what they do in life to assisting you in your process by reviewing these things and by bringing information that will be necessary for spiritual growth and development and for success in ministry. God has called you to this through this ministry. So as a result, the standard that the ministry has is your covering, and it is also your benchmark. And we know that all are able. We have some young people that I need their parent to contact the ministry on their behalf. They have accountability partners. But I need to hear from the parents of the individuals that are under 18. A committee members on the line, is there anything else that I may have missed? Okay. This process that you're going to experience in August, I wanted to just go through the process with you step by step. And like I say, the lines are open, so if you have questions of any kind, you can just ask the questions, or you can text me to my phone number, or you can, I would say, email me. But if you email me, I will have to get back with you because I don't know how to get the email while I'm on the phone. So when you come to the conference on that Thursday in August, there is, you have the ability to just be an on-site conference attender, or you can be an off-site conference attender, meaning that you're going to just come each day and leave, come each day and leave. On-site, you want to be able to register in advance with the hotel to hold your rooms, and you register with the hotel using the Laborers for Christ block of rooms and their room rate, which Minister Sherita will go over later when we're done with just the process. And Minister Sherita and those that are part of the intake, please feel free to jump right in to help describe the process for the participants on that weekend. So when you come and you register and you get your rooms, the conference starts at 9 o'clock. And you should be registered and ready, and you'll be directed to where our conference will take place. It is on the lower level. There'll be signs available. There'll be individuals available to be your accountabilities will be available, looking out for you, to welcome you. A lot of people may not have met their accountability partners, and so that will be a time of that meet and greet that you will be able to fellowship with one another. There is a sign-in that's necessary for when you register, even though you register by mail. When you get there, you need to go to registration, and that's where you will meet Minister Sherita and Pastor Marlette. And part of your registration at that time, and just to save time from going up and coming back down from your rooms, you need to bring your garments, and each item that you are required to bring for your ordination, your Bible, your tallit, your censure,
your cassock, your all of the pieces that are a part of your garment. Different ones for different offices have different pieces, but according to the list that you were given, the vestments that Pastor Hook training involved, and you do have that sent to you via email, you want to make sure everything is labeled with your name in it. So as you're purchasing these things, if you, you know, even before you put them up after purchasing, and I do encourage everyone, your cassocks should be ironed. I know that sometimes they come folded up, and we tend to just leave it that way and bring it in, but they should be ironed, and they should present a level of excellence, because these are the things that will be a part of your vestment. And they will also be blessed. And that's what, when these things are collected, they are will be stored, they will be blessed, they will be brought into your service, and then there will be individuals who will actually dress you with the pieces. And as the pieces are placed upon you, there will be information regarding that in the laying on of hands, an anointing thereof. And so there are different ones that will be assigned to dress you. And so we just trying to make it clear all of the things that are going to be a part of your ordination process. We are also, we procession in as a group, and as we, and that would be on that Saturday. Well, I guess I'm going ahead of myself. And so there's just the timeliness of all things that we want to be mindful of. So while you're telling and sharing with your loved ones and friends and family and church members to come, you want to make sure you express the necessity of timeliness, because once the procession is lined up, then that's it. There's a cutoff time, and by the time they get in, a lot of the service will have gone forth. And so when you come on that Thursday, there is a general session. When you hear general session, that generally means that the apostle and those in that position are going to speak to the general body. That's information for everybody, and everybody must be a part of that. That's the opportune time for you to get a deeper insight into the organization that is conferring this ordination and this the anointing office upon you. And so when you hear general session, there will be a prayer session. These are times where the prayer focus and consecration for your process has been covered in prayer, and this is another aspect that is that we need as we are released into ministry, that prayer covering. And then there are the tracks that you will, and we say tracks, the workshops. That is a group of topics that are going to be covered, and they're going to be covered uniquely for you, and more detail and customization of your calling will happen in those workshops, because that way we are in one-on-one almost with each one to make clarity in the areas of ministry that you're called to. You'll receive protocol. You'll receive the knowledge of a particular what the law says as it relates, just different information that as you go into ministry, you should be aware of it. What your leaders are requiring, what they are expecting of you. And then a lot of terms and words and things, we've given you a brief overview of them on the phone line, but it'll be a lot more detailed during that time of impartation. There is a time of worship that's also a part of this, and it is set up and subject set up to meet your needs holistically, your needs, the needs of your families, who will become the support system for your ministry and your going forward. And so it's a very high energy time. It's a very spirit-filled time, a very exciting time, as the release of the Holy Spirit just permeates the place and brings us to actually the throne of God as we go forth in the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is scripturally based, and all of these things will be brought to you, because so often people might ask you, well, what is it? What is it about it? Why do you have to do it? And these are all things that we pray we are giving you the information and the answer. Because the Bible says, always be ready with an answer. And an answer that comes not out of doctrine, but out of the Word of God. And there is scripture to bring that truth to light. So if there are any questions or concerns, comments, one of the things that we're going to do on that Saturday is your evaluation. That evaluation will take place in front of a council of approximately 15 people, and they are from the committee as well as those leaders that are a part of the conferring of office upon you. That would include, not a complete list, but it would include the apostles who would like to share some information with you now. Right?
No. Just want to encourage everybody to get registered for the conference. Overseer has already gone over all of that, reminding people that it starts on Thursday. We have sessions all day on Thursday, all day on Friday. And then on Saturday, she's going to talk to you specifically about the time of the evaluation for your evaluation. But on Saturday, there's the prayer from 11 to 12, the general session, which you all will probably be doing your evaluation during that time. And then the ordination consecration is from 2 to 6, and then the banquet at 6 o'clock or immediately following the ordination consecration. So just want to encourage people to register, to get their banquet tickets, to encourage their family, friends, and loved ones to be a part of this banquet and ordination celebration as we celebrate what the Lord is doing in your lives. Want to encourage people to get registered for their hotel accommodations. Remember, all of these things must be done no later than August 8th, and so our room block will close at that point. So want to just make sure that everybody has all of the information that they need as it relates to those areas, and wanted to avail myself if there were any questions and or concerns regarding what will take place for you all that weekend.
The lines are open. If you desire to ask a question, just take your phone off of mute, and we are here to address those questions. There are no silly questions or, no, I don't want to ask a question. Feel free to ask a question. This is interactive. It's dialogue, and we're expecting input. Actually, we're expecting your input. We have accountability partners on the line, and if they would like to share the experience, they've gone through it before, and if there's areas of concerns they think that perhaps has not been addressed, they can do so now, be at liberty to be a part of this process. This is the time. and as we hear from them, we ask that the people to share today will be prepared to go forth from the accountability study. Okay. Not a problem. It's like we
Overseer.
So it's yes. Who is this?
This is Ruby. How are you?
I'm good. Hello.
Hey, I do have a question in reference to us getting there. How would that work for me? Because we reserved the room, but we're not staying at that hotel, but we're coming straight when I get off of work. So I know I'm not going to be there exactly like 9 o'clock a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So do okay. I still like register and like, would there somebody tell me to direct? Cause you know, it's 15 hours from my end.
Absolutely.
And I'm coming and I'm leaving. I know. See, peep time, we say we're going to leave exactly when I go to work at 3, no later than 6. Yes, I can tell you. Yes, that's going to be a whole hour later.
Okay.
Yeah, so like, how, yeah, do I, do I come and drop me off?
And you know,
yeah.
You know, that's a wonderful question. And it's, you know what, that life happens that way. And that's fine. There'll be someone there at registration all morning through the afternoon. There's no one there when it's doing open session or worship. But other than that, there will be someone there to direct you. You'll see me. I will be out and about in that area. And so you will be directed as to where to go. There will be signs in the hotel, directorial signs. And again, remember, we're all everything that we're going to do is going to be at the lower level, and so that's your first place is to go to the lower level, to the international ballrooms. And so when you come into that area, that's where you'll see the ministry, and there will be individuals there in order to give you directions. So wonderful question, not a problem. We understand that those that won't stay at the hotel, I just do stress that timeliness is going to be very important, you know, and so the coming and going also is $12 a day for parking if you're coming and going. If you're a resident there, there is no charge. So we do want to keep that in mind. Food is available in restaurants, and it's a nice little area, circled area, in the vicinity of the hotel, as well as a grocery store and those kinds of things where sometimes people can just go and get food, like a Walmart or well, this is a retreat hotel. And so there are areas where you can go and just, you know, get to consume it, but there won't be any supply by the ministry except for the banquet on Saturday evening. Okay? So is Bishop on the line? Are you prepared, Bishop, with our seven mountains? And we're going to ask, what I'm going to do is call the last 4 digits of your phone number. And if they're your last 4 digits, and don't be hanging up the phone when I go calling your 4 digits, and we're going to expect you to give us your psalm for the week and what you have journalized and documented in your study of psalms. So the first person is 71788. You are a winner. Next person, yep, is 3562. You are a winner. And the last person that has to go forth today is, I want to be fair. Okay, 3403. You are the final winner. So come on down. in that order and share with us your song. Amen. Let us know who you are so that we can make sure we will give you that credit for today. Amen. Okay, we have one that can't talk right now. That's okay. Next. Okay, the number two, come on down.
Sorry, I had my phone on mute. That would be me. Now, Overseer, I didn't get a chance to read through all of the psalms that that were given. My family and I have been celebrating my mom's 80th birthday, so I've been out of town and just getting back and just really busy this past week, so I didn't get a chance to read through those psalms. But I will get through them by the end of Saturday. That's Saturday is usually my day to get through my AEN stuff.
Okay, you don't have a song that you do a name of God from?
Oh, well, you just want me to pick one of my own, not one from the list?
Just anything from the first to what we're at now, we'll do.
Okay, let me think then.
Okay. Well, you got it from Psalms 1 to Psalms 112.
Psalms 1 through, say again?
112.
Psalms 1 through 112. Okay, thank you. I'll go with the 37th Psalm.
Okay.
The 37th Psalm. The 37th Psalm has him all wrapped up in there. I was actually pulling it up. Give a second. Here we are.
What is
dropping off? I do apologize. Is 37. Where'd it go? Here it is. Okay. It's best, it's easiest to see in the King James Version. Now it went to the wrong book. Jeez. And right at the beginning of the scripture, it gives very descriptive language about the Lord being my light and my salvation. When I look at that particular song, he is light. You know, that's not just one of his. That's just not one of his characteristics. That's just not one of his attributes. But he is light. He's, you know, pure light. So I love that he's the illumination. That brings so much clarity and insight and light to my life, you know, that I can't stay in darkness because he is light. That's one of my favorite scriptures, the entire 37th Psalm is one of my favorite books. But I just, you know, even just taking that first part of it as him being my light, that's one of the most important things for me to remember so that I'm not groping around in darkness. I don't have to. As long as I have my gaze and my focus in the right direction, I'm always going to have light, at least enough light for the step that I'm standing on at this moment, meaning the season that I'm in, that kind of thing. There's always going to be illumination for where it is I need to be. and where it is I need to go, as long as I know him as my light.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And then we, what, 3403? And 4468. Get ready. Yes.
3403. Yes, good evening. Yeah.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, people.
Well, 111 through 111 through 113 is praising God, praising the Lord. You know, giving him praise for creation and redemption, giving him praise for his of righteousness and his power and compassion. And I'm always giving God praise for his compassion on me and my life and my children, giving him praise for his righteousness and his power. I give him praise just for being God, because he's been good to me and my family, and he's brought me through many things. He's brought me out of many things, and he's yet taken me through many things and proven himself to me when I would or would feel like the last few weeks I felt very overwhelmed, because so many things have been cropping up. But he has given me peace and the withal to go through and to continue to just lean on him. So those psalms has been a blessing to me. Actually, all of the psalms, but those three stand out particularly for his praises, and they are giving him praise for different things. So that has been my hint for this week.
Okay. All right. And then 4468. That's the last four digits of your phone number. You're up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then Pastor Tan.
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Overseer?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. I had hit the wrong button.
Okay.
I'm coming from Psalms 100. And the name that I was pondering, the name I was basically journaling about is the Lord. Psalms 100 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The second verse say, serve the Lord. The third verse said, and know ye that the Lord. And I just want to talk about how and the fifth verse said, the Lord is good. So as I was thinking, the Lord has been good to me and been good to my family. And that's why I will to serve the Lord. And that's why I desire to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because every time I turn around, he is Lord, he is supreme, he is the head of my life. And in Psalm 95, say he's the rock of our salvation. And when I think about a rock, I think about something that's strong, something that's sharp. And I think about how that when I'm weak, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And that as far as a rock being sharp, that the Bible says that the word of the Lord is sharper than a two-edged sword. So I look at him as my rock, and I look at him as a word that can come in, can penetrate, and can pierce anything that is contrary to his will and to his way in my life. So that was what I got. I got him as the Lord and the rock of our salvation.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Tan.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Mine would come from Psalms 105, verses 8 through 9, and it speaks about the God of covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our God, who keeps his promise. He keeps his promise through 1,000 generations. And he would never forget his promise. So I picked that because no matter what the promise was or no matter what the covenant God had spoken, he would remember it and he would keep his covenant up to that thousands of generations to come, you know, as he made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham didn't live to see it, but that covenant continued passing down from generation to generation. And if you go up just a couple of scriptures, it says, think of the mighty deeds he did for us. If we just think about everything that God has done, you know, if I myself, you know, just don't wallow and think that with some of the things that's going on with me now, if I could just, you know, look back and think about everything that God has done for me and my family and where he has brought me and my family from, all I could do is just thank him. Thank him for being the God of covenant. Thank him for being keeping his promise. And thank him for being ever so grateful and ever so merciful towards us. So that's the name of God, which is the God of covenant, the one that would never break, we say, contract or agreement. He would never break it. So,
amen. 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 Thank you so much to all of those who shared with us because they were asked to. Is there anyone that would like to share with us because God has given them something? As they read and did, they were faithful to their consecration. Was it any insight that the Lord has revealed to you that you will share with us this evening? Because this is what your ministry is going to look like. It's going to look like you sharing the revelations that the Lord gives you with others. Amen? If you want, you must take your phone off of mute. Okay. I want to... Yes. If Bishop is on the line, you ready to do the Seven Mountain Prophecy?
Yeah, I'm ready. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir. All right. Well, if there's no more with our consecration or our accountability partner study, then we will open the floor up to Bishop, and we will receive. Oh, go ahead, Bishop.
All right. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well and on their process. I'm going to talk with you about the seven mountains, okay? So a couple of scriptures that you definitely want to take down and you want to read and focus on is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2, as well as Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 5. Verses 1 to 12. Okay? And so Isaiah 2, chapter 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." Okay? That's Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. And Revelation 5, you can read verses 1 through 12 on your own. But what I want to take out of that is, because it's a wonderful passage of scripture, you should read the book of Revelation. And so I'm going to kind of jump down, and it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Okay. What are we talking about when we look at all of this? Okay? Well, we're talking about a lot of things. What you're going to hear prophetically, even from other ministers, other churches, other organizations, through little clips on Facebook, what you're going to hear is, after I get saved, what's next? That's always going to be the question. What am I called and created to do? Now, what makes this significant is because you guys and all of us have been either consecrated, elevated, or you're being ordained. And because you're being ordained, that is significant because it simply says that God has called you to do a special work in this earth. Scripture says that the earth moans and groans for the sons of God. And so one of the things you're going to need in this time in your life is the first qualification is to be full of the Holy Spirit, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the Holy Spirit and you together will ignite a fire in areas of this world. So what's next after you get saved? What's next after you go from infantry to being a child of God to being a son, daughter of God? Well, God desires, in the book of Revelations, back this up, for the kingdoms of this world to become his kingdoms. And in order for that to happen, God is fulfilling the commission that Jesus put out, to go out into all the world, baptizing and teaching and making disciples. You know the scripture, you know the mandate. And so God is commissioning each and every one of us to go out. Now, the thing that is so unique about this is that when that scripture was quoted, he said, go into Jerusalem, go into Samaria, go into those remote areas. Well, you don't have to travel anymore. And the reason why you don't have to travel is because you have a wonderful thing called the internet and social media, and you have ways to connect to people from around the country even now. Blog Talk. This facet that you are on now is an example of that. And so God wants us now to move from going out into all the world looks like going into systems and affecting change. And so the church has been hungry. In the church, we have mastered the mountain of church. And so you're going to hear a teaching called mountains, or, in other words, cultural spheres, and these are seven cultures that influence the whole world. One culture is religion, another culture is business, another culture government, another culture media, another culture education, another culture arts and entertainment, another culture family. And so these are seven cultures that influence all the world. Wherever you go, it's always this setup, and it doesn't matter. So you can relate and blend into those things. You're going to hear people refer to these not only as cultures, but you're going to hear them refer to it as mountains, which is why I read the Isaiah 2. And God desires to possess these mountains or these kingdoms and to make them his. And in doing so, he's going to utilize you guys, me, all of us, to come together to take over. So what's next after getting saved? Well, go out into all the world and begin to influence. So some of you will find yourself in businesses. Some of you will find yourselves in government. Some of you will find yourselves in media, in education, in school, in colleges, and things like that. Some of you will find yourself in sports. Example of that would be like a Stephen Curry, who proclaims Jesus Christ. And it's not that he's doing it in a subtle way. He's just living the life and he's being an epistle. One of the reasons why that the Golden State Warriors got to where they're at is because they were built and founded on prayer. And their first coach was a minister named Mark Jackson, who was a minister, and he sat down and he pulled the team together through prayer. And so you're going to find ministers being in places where God needs you to be so that you can be a light, because you are the salt of the earth, you know. And so we don't have to be afraid. Now, Jesus asked Peter a question, and after Peter answered, he said, "Who do you say that I am? Who do others say that I am?" And Jesus said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock." And then he made this other statement that I find intriguing: "And the gates of hell shall not prevail." Now, let's look at that, because what is a gate, or what is the purpose of a gate? Well, the purpose of a gate is to keep you out, you know. And so the first prayer hour, you know, like the first watch, is taking hold of the gates. One of the elements within it is like the 6 to 9 o'clock hour. Like right now, this is the hour where we possess the gates. Whoever possesses the gate gets the control, and they get to pronounce either blessings or curses. And so if the enemy is on his job from 6 to 9, the first thing he's going to do is possess the gates. And so as believers, you possess the gates, which is why they gave you the prayer watch, so that you can possess the gates, take it back, and then you can begin to proclaim the blessings of the Lord. And so if the gates of hell shall not prevail, then in other words, one interpretation would simply suggest that the gates of hell is doing all that they can to keep us out. And so therefore, we must understand that we are, that Jesus has made it very clear that upon this rock the church is built, we must go beyond the gates. And beyond the gates, we must then begin to make those mountaintops the Lord's. We must set up banners. We must set up shops, which is why you must not be afraid of the internet. You know, people concern me when they say things like, you know, "I don't use the internet, it's scary." No, it's not. It's not scary. If you can use a smartphone, it is no different from the internet. It's the same principle. But yet, if there is a fear there, then the enemy will use that. It's like playing the king of the mountaintop or the king of the hill. Whoever's on top of the hill possesses it. And so on these mountains, there are demonic forces who don't mind setting up shop. And as they are setting up shop on these mountains, they are dictating to the rest of the world, or to the cultures, demonic influences or demonic teachings or things to that nature, traditions. They're setting up, and Satan is teaching them, which is why you can see a Beyonce can sing a church song and yet sing Lemonade on the other hand. You're seeing these things because people are being influenced, because we as a church have been trapped on one mountain, and we refuse obey the Holy Spirit in going forward because we have been taught that everything is of the devil. You go skating, is of the devil. You wear makeup, it's of the devil. If you're acting and you're a Christian and your lines require you to curse, that's of the devil. And so everything is of the devil, and so as a result of that, nothing is being possessed because we have not educated ourselves. We have not put ourselves in position to be able to write movie scripts or to reinvent the culture. The whole goal is to be a living epistle. And so your presence on these mountains people will then begin to read you and look at your life, because they're looking for answers and they want solutions. And so don't look at your job as being a job, but get to a place where your job not becomes a career, but it becomes your vocation. A vocation speaks to something totally different. It's not just an occupation. It speaks to, this is what I'm called to do, this is what I know to do, and I'm very good at it. And so if they put you in management positions, you should count it all joy. You should not be afraid to be a supervisor. Well, I don't want to be held accountable. Well, if that's the thinking, then remember this scripture. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so if you don't want to be held accountable, then the harvest will be plentiful and the laborers are few. And then you'll sit on one mountain, which would most likely be the religious one or the church, and sitting there, what you will begin to find out is that you'll find a sort of decay that is occurring and a decay that is happening because you are not operating and walking in your purpose. And it won't make sense, and you won't be prepared, and you'll sit back always asking. What we want to change on this earth is when people make the statement, the richest place on this earth is the graveyard. That should not be. And it is that way because the gates of hell are prevailing, because we are not walking into the position that God has called us to be. So, in looking at that Revelation 5 scripture, Jesus has the power to release the seals. And so, and as I have read those seven things, he has said it's power, and power speaks to the government. Riches speaks to economy. Wisdom speaks to education. Strength speaks of the family. Honor speaks of religion. Glory speaks of celebration or arts and entertainment. And blessings speaks of media. And so when you're looking at the seven mountains, and I'll go through this as quickly as I can, you want to be prepared. Now, the unique thing you're going to have to figure out, depending on your call, anointing, and office, you're going to have to figure out what your mission and your vision is. So, for example, if you are a minister, then your mission and vision is automatically of the pastors. Not that God isn't calling you to do kingdom work, but everything should coincide with what your leader is doing. And then you should be able to operate within that realm with no problem at all, because there is no confusion in the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, as you study the mission and vision of your leader, then you will begin to see how God is calling you and how he desires to use you in this day and age. So you may not need to preach in the church, but you may have a platform at your job, and that may be the way that God wants to be a light of the world so that people can draw close to him. There is a religious spirit that when we talk about circumcision, for example, the Bible talks about that we have to be circumcised of the heart. And being circumcised of the heart, God has cut away the flesh, which means you're operating in the spirit. And so as a result of that, the religious spirits of the church only desires to do one thing, castrate you. And castrate you so that you will not be fruitful and you will not multiply, which is why we have to see past the enemy and move on. So, media. The media is where information is interpreted through good and evil. The media mountain consists of TV channels, newspaper, magazines, radio, internet sites, any media outlet that reports the news. We have never really recognized the power of media. The media is able to create the news. They can take a minor event and turn it into a big story. Hello? Mm-hmm. Oh. The media is...
Yeah, I did. And I sent you an email, too. Uh-huh. Okay, so I'll call you back as soon as I get off this conference call. It'll be a little left.
Okay.
It'll be a little left.
Sister Lynette, we hear your conversation.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have never really recognized the power of media. Media is able to create the news. They can take a minor event, turn it into a big story, and take a big event and turn it into a minor story. Many times, news stories are driven by the type of ratings that they will produce or the agenda of the owner. owner. Scandals and bad news seem to dominate the airways. The enemy has occupied this mountain for too long. The Hittite nation rules this media mountain. And so Hittite is translated as fear or terror or to destroy. So the reality that terrorists would be a lot less effective if the press or media didn't give so much coverage to them. The news stories about the terrorists are actually causing fear and terror to terrorists themselves. And so the goal of the media mountain is to report news accurately, regardless if it's bad news or good.
Hello?
Okay. The goal of the media mountain is reports news accurately, regardless if it's bad or good news. I'm on phone number 5177. The people reporting the news will actually speak to the hearts of the viewers or readers and have ability to affect them all in a positive way. Regardless of the nature of the story, they will become the new evangelist. You have the government mountain. Government. This is where evil is restrained or endorsed. Okay? The mountain has been completely ignored by the church. Many consider it of the devil because all the corruption and deceit that takes place in this arena. Unfortunately, since the church has chosen to ignore, or since the people or the body of Christ has chosen to ignore this mountain, the enemy has easily moved in and taken over. The Jershites rule on the mountain of government, and that is translated as earthly. And so that means government is motivated by earthly desires. Pride is often the driving force that leads to many politicians feeling they are beyond accountable. The desire for riches of this earth ends in corruption and immorality. Pride was the reason Lucifer was cast out of heaven. One can see the influence of the devil in our politics, and not all politicians are of the devil, but in general, politics are dominated by greed, corruption, immorality, pride, all tools of Satan. But God said he will display Satan and expose all his lies. The time has come for us to take back our governments and to place Jesus at the top. So some of you are called to be senators. Some of you are called to be congressmen, working closely, mayors, or to be a part of that team. Now, you don't have to be the main person, but if you are in position and you are there, they're going to ask you for advice. The Bible has always proven that, and it has proven it with a young man named Joseph who was sold into Egypt. It has proven it with another young man named Daniel. And so these individuals were considered, according to the world, to be second and third stream leaders, but yet had so much influence because they prayed, and whatever they put their hands to do, they did it effectively. And some say Joseph had a doctoral degree in polishing spoons. So every time he was polishing his spoons and serving the Pharaoh, he was listening. And then because he had God, he was able to apply what was inside of him. And so, education mountain. I mean, we keep saying, well, prayers have been taken out of school and the kids are acting up. Yes, they are. Because we have not positioned ourselves in the classroom. We want more money, and so teachers don't want to teach anymore. People want to be doctors. People want to go where the money is. And as a result of that, that mountain is not being taken care of because they are being supervised, opposed of becoming superintendents of the school system and applying God's laws. We don't even have to keep setting up Christian schools because that's what we keep doing. We need to be at a place where we infect change by being in that position so that the school will begin to mimic that of the Lord's. So, for example, when universities started, all universities started off as seminary schools. All universities started off as seminary schools. And because the devil was able to put his influence, what you begin to see at that moment is that God was taken out of the universities. Now you got a separation of seminary versus a university. So you got other mountains like business. business or the economy mountain. The economy is the proper flow of balance of the production of resources, distribution, and consumption of resources. An economy is healthy when there is a proper relationship between these three elements. The world economy is influenced and controlled by world money traders who create economic realities. These traders determine the nation's economic health and determine the value of that nation's currency. Rumors and perceptions are powerful influences in this arena. And so now you got this thing called the Illuminati that, you know, people are fearing. Well, we need to come out of the world system, okay? We need to come out the world system and begin to enter into God's economic system. You know, that doesn't mean, do I need to leave my job? No, it doesn't. It means you need to know what your purpose is, get in position, and then begin to affect change. And remember, it's not going to come easy, which is why some of us are bickering with our coworkers over something minor, because the enemy spotted you, sees the anointing on your life, and doing everything he can, it can, to push you out. Your goal is not to be blinded by anger. Your goal is to always refer back to the cross and to refer back to Christ. God wants me here. I am here for the right reasons. And even if I'm not here, we can proclaim like Joseph, even in my affliction, God has made me fruitful. You know, this is some powerful stuff here. Man, so we want to take over that economy mountain. And so God is Jehovah Jireh when it comes to the mountain of economics, which means the Lord is my provider. God is the heart for every person and every nation to live under his provision. God's heart is for every person and every nation, every leader, to live under his provision. He delights in providing for his children. He delights in providing for his children. Money and resources are a blessing from God. The zeal for those resources is the root of all kinds of evil. Money itself is not evil or good. Money is simply a tool. The enemy has convinced everyone that money is their true source of provision. His goal is to enslave people to poverty, where God blesses with abundance. The enemy twists God's abundance into greed for more. The economic systems of this world are going to collapse, which is a good thing, as it will leave people with nothing or no one to turn to except for God. God calls his people to come out of the world system, out of poverty, out of the idea that money is our provision, and into his system of abundance and provision. So if you're praying in this watch hour, you want to take the gates of that so that God's provision can always be released and you can release a blessing. God wants us to be able to pray in regards of plead with him through petitions and supplications. And then once we have pleaded with him and in our prayer time we have aligned ourselves with his will, then we turn around in the same prayer and just begin to command some things to come forth. But yet we are going to have to give up some things within ourselves for that to have its full impact. So there's the arts and entertainment, celebration mountain. This includes music, sports, fashion, entertainment, other way we celebrate or enjoy life. God doesn't have a problem with these mountains, so why do we? And so arts and entertainment, the Hivite nation or villagers or life-giving place, the enemy villages and occupies this place, and he puts counterfeit, deception, and perversion, which is why porn is a multi-billion dollar experience. Because we have not put ourselves in a position. I mean, TBN is nice. The word network is nice. But we got to not only have these things, but be able to infect TV programming with messages that will reach people. It's not about saving those who are already accepted, but those who are in darkness. We as leaders must not be afraid to go out in darkness. We must engage the enemy as David engaged Goliath. Let me show you how much of a punk Goliath was. The Bible says in the story of David and Goliath that Goliath and his shield bearer went out into the battlefield, two against so-called one. But because David rolls with the king of this whole universe and cosmos and the heaven and earth, he went out there with the host of heaven behind him and was able to slay that giant. That's what God wants us to do. And if we're afraid to do it, then we have to work on our fears. And you work on your fears by embracing God's perfected love. And then there's the church mountain. You already know about that. And once again, that spirit that sits on the church, what it desires to do is castrate you, which is why so many people are bound to religion. The only religion the Bible speaks about, check this out, you're going to love it. The only religion the Bible speaks about is to keep yourself from evil and to take care of orphans. So don't talk to me about being non-denominational. Don't talk to me about being Catholic. Don't talk to me about being Lutheran. Don't talk to me about being Islamic. Don't talk to me about being Hindu. Talk to me about keeping yourself from evil and taking care of the orphans. That's what you want to talk to me about, because that's a religion that the Bible backs up in the book of Timothy. Read it. And so these are the seven mountains. And then, I forgot the most important one, family. Family is to undergird all of these. Family is to undergird all of these mountains. Family. And so I remember growing up, 6 o'clock, and my sister could attest to this, dinner time. It didn't matter what you was doing. When they stuck their head out the door and called you, dinner time. You sit at the table and you eat. And we ate fast. I'm like, can I go back outside? No. Tell me how your day was. Tell me how was school. Tell me what you did today. But that's it. And at that dinner time, that's when you ought to release blessings. You ought to talk to your children. They ought to be informed about God. You ought to build and sow into one another. That's that family time, is make the order of the home. And so we can attack same-sex relationships if we are not attacking heterosexual dysfunctional relationships. Therefore, we have to get it right first, so that when we get it right, we will be a living epistle, and then something will spark into other individuals to say, you know what? I want that. And now here's the other thing that's coming. You have individuals, they are coming straight to the church, and they want answers, and you have the solution. So are you a laborer that's willing to go over these seven mountains and to keep putting up the banners of God so that each mountain will represent and begin to look like our Lord on earth as it is in heaven? I'm finished.
Amen, amen, and amen again. Hallelujah. Now we have heard the word, and we are going to apply the word. Everybody next week will pick the mountain of family. We're going to start with the mountain of family. You're going to start with the mountain of family. Everybody on this consecration for ordination 2016, accountability partners, council members, and candidates, everybody is going to pick the mountain of family. I'm repeating this so that everybody can understand what the assignment is. Once you pick, you get the mountain of family, and we will send you, Minister Sherita will send you the seven mountain prophecy, a little grid that gives you the different information. You're going to then look at your prayer watches. There are eight of them, eight prayer watches. Pick a watch, whatever watch you believe God is calling you to, and then tell me what your watch decrees and declares for the mountain of family. okay? Everybody has the One Mountain family. Everybody has access to all 8 prayer watches. Pick the one. Give you an example for the Mountain of Family and the first prayer watch, which is from 6 to 9 o'clock. So what should be declared during that time? Ah, Bishop said it. Sit down at the table as a family and take over the gate for the day that's to come. That's for what's tomorrow, because 6 to 9 is the first prayer watch of the day. That's when you claim it for, and y'all can't use this one. That's when you claim it for the Mountain of Family that is established through what the Word says about family. That is for pastors, for ministers, it's for everybody on the line, everybody going through the ordination. That is what you are to do. What does the prayer watch of Pastor Marnette? What, you have a question or comment? Just say it. Just say it.
But it is just what does my prayer watch say about the Mountain of Family?
That's fine. And so we have to.
Are we disconnected?
Hello?
Yeah,
I think you pressed a button or something.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Bishop? Is this Bishop?
Yeah, this is Bishop.
This brother said, I did have a question. That was just wonderful, awesome, the way you delivered that about the mountains. And my question is, do you have that written down like that? Was that word for word, or was that just the Holy Spirit just speaking through you?
I haven't written down. I can definitely email it out. I can email it out, and it's kind of a it's a combination of both.
Condensed version.
Okay. Well, I would love to have it emailed to me, and I can text you my email later.
Okay, I'll definitely email it so we can all get it and look at it.
Thank you.
The overseer, you on the line? Or? No, I'm assuming no. I don't think she knows. Let me see.
Hey, Bishop Nate.
Yes.
This is Bonds. I used to have that book, but I don't have it no longer. Can you email that over to me?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
You got my email address, right?
Yeah. The Seven Mountains of Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I used to have that. We used to carry that in our bookstore. And I no longer have it, so I would like, if you can, just email it over to me.
Okay, that'll work. I'll definitely do that.
Thank you, Bishop,
maybe you could give it to Sharita, and she could just put it out for
everyone. Yeah, that would be great.
That's what I was going to do. I was going to check
you.
with the Prime Minister.
Amen.
Where is Overseer? Overseer, where you at?
Yeah. Did she get disconnected?
I think she did. I don't know if she knows. Let me send a text. Hello, Overseer. I think you guys got disconnected. We're still on the line, though.
Hello.
Hello,
Overseer,
that's you?
Online.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bishop.
No problem.
My phone had disconnected. Please continue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we just talked about, I'm going to send Prime Minister a copy of what I was reading and working with tonight.
Amen. Amen. So we'll, we can close it out in prayer. Is Pastor Bond on the line?
Where'd he go?
That's a lot. Bond, you still on the line, sir?
I'm sorry to hear you, Bishop.
No, I'm seeing if Pastor Bond was still on the line.
Oh, you can close this out. Unless Pastor Jeff is on the line.
I'm on the line. I had to run downstairs for a minute, but I'm back on now. Eternal God, we just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to come to the throne of grace. Thank you for this great meeting, Lord God. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the overseer. Thank you for the bishop. Thank you for all the candidates. And Father, we just pray that you would be merciful, that you would be gracious. As we go through this process, as we go through this journey, that you be with us. In the name of Jesus. And God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Continue to look down over the AEN network. Continue to look down for Labors of Christ Ministries. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank amen. You all so much for being a part of this session. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Call you back and show you